You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is another episode of To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me every week is...
Tristan Riddell.
And I am so incredibly excited for this week. Oh my gosh, my little relationshiper heart is just roaring right now. Because we're going to talk about our top five Janeway and Chakotay moments. Oh, yes, we are.
It was really funny when we... Okay, so obviously we tag every single episode with an ending previewing what we're going to do in the next week. And so when our last episode dropped, people immediately started emailing us and tweeting us and messaging us saying, We cannot wait for your J/C episode. Because there are so many shippers out there, and it was just, yeah. I was expecting a lot more hate. I was expecting a lot of more eye rolling.
I was waiting for the groans and the eye rolls and the really backlash. We didn't get a single one. And so if you're out there and if you didn't say anything at all because you couldn't say something nice, thank you. And I appreciate you bearing with us for this episode. We will try to make it entertaining, even if you are not a Janeway and Chakotay relationshipper. We'll try.
We'll try.
But as everybody knows, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, we're kind of on board with the whole thing that Janeway and Chakotay had a little something-something on the side, very discreet and quiet during the run. It just had to be, right? Right?
That's the thing is that, like, we could, and I'm sure that we will. I mean, like, we could debate what their relationship really was and, you know, what those dinners meant or what those slight touches meant, you know, and things like that. We could analyze and we could develop an entire backstory of what happened that just was off screen and that we didn't see. And I think in one episode, what was it? Like, not a Star Trek episode, but a podcast? To the Journey episode. I think I might have made an offhand comment about how they secretly had an open relationship.
You did. Yes, you
I
did.
I don't know why I said that. Like, I don't really think that. I don't really believe that, but...
You don't?
Part of me wants to, you know?
See, that's the great thing about how they did sort of play the Janeway Chakotay relationship is they left it up to interpretation. They could let our imaginations run wild. I mean, think about how much fan fiction is out about this couple. After all these years, you know, never mind all the stuff that was happening during the show's actual run, because it was just off the charts, maddening. 20-something years later, it's still going on. People are still writing fanfics. People are still talking about this. People still think it happened. And so, in a way, I kind of praise the writers for not going with something more direct, and yet it's so frustrating.
It is the definition of frustrating.
Oh my God.
I started going through, I found a website. That's right, there's still websites devoted to their relationship. I found
a website
when I was doing my research on, somebody did an analysis, I guess you could call it an analysis, of every single episode in Voyager and how Janeway and Chakotay interacted.
Right, yeah, every little moment broken down by episode. I've been to this site many times. I was there when they were forming it.
And it's pink on pink, like it's pink lettering on pink background, which could be the worst thing for a website. And
possibly.
It's just, I'm not trying to make fun of this person because I admire their devotion, but the way that it's written is kind of like a high schooler. Where
yeah, well, I mean, this was written, I think, also in the run of Voyager. So we're talking late 90s, early 2000s, and a lot of us were pretty young. It probably was high school.
But the thing is, like, it's written how we all feel. Like, again, I'm not making fun of this person. Like, it's written how we talk in our heads where it's just like, and they totally had a thing where she touched her and it, where like where yeah. she touched him and it was just like, you know, like that's right. how it's written.
And then I was like, oh my God. Yeah. And then I have to, you know, back in the day, I have to go on AOL and go on the message boards and chat all my friends and instant message them and, oh my God, let's talk about it.
I don't like the term fangirling because it makes it feel a little sexist where only people of a certain gender can react that way.
Mm.
But I use it with no sexism intended towards myself. The only time I fangirl out is with Janeway and Chakotay.
Well, you know, we have the fanboy moment, and then we've got fangirling with, you know, fangirling is the more romantic aspect of things, whereas, yeah. like, fanboy is like, oh my God, they blew things up,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of sexist, and yet, like, I never thought about how that could be interpreted as sexist. Maybe we need a new word?
You know, maybe, like, I'm, you know, like, I am all, you know who I am, and...
You are the best feminist that I know.
Thank you very much. I married a feminist. I was raised by a feminist, and I wear the badge proudly. And I believe that every man should be a feminist. But at the same time,
agreed. I think everybody should be a feminist.
It's not a bad word. Yes. It's not a bad word. I love it, and I am all in support for it. But there are certain times, like fanboy and fangirling, where I'm just like, oh, you know, like it just the term just works, you know, like, and you understand yeah. what it means. But at the same time, you're like, well,
right,
maybe.
Because error in the brain. I think we ought to just say, for those of you who don't know what feminist really means, all it really means is that you believe in equal opportunity, equal rights, equal treatment for everyone. That is mm-hmm. all. It has nothing to do with burning bras
right.
and all of that. I mean, that's such a stereotype. That's all it means. And so if you don't believe in that, well, think again.
Yeah,
Who are you?
I was speaking with a friend of mine on Twitter, and this guy is a very good guy. He's a very nice guy. He's a little bit older than I am, mm-hmm. and we started talking about feminism, and I said so you're a feminist, and he's like, no, I'm not. And I was like, but we just had a very, you know, pro feminist conversation. He's like, yeah, but I wouldn't call myself a feminist.
Yeah, that's so common.
Yeah, and I was like, why not? And he's like, well, you know, like when I was around in the 70s, it was kind of a negative term. And I said, do you believe in equal pay for women? He goes, yes. I was like, do you believe in equal rights for women? He's like, yes. He's like, do you believe that women should have just as much power in politics and the world as men? He's like, yes. And I was like, well, then I hate to break it to you. You're a feminist.
Right. Yeah. That's all it is, guys. But there is such a negative connotation for what people interpret it to be. Based on stereotypes that are not necessarily true and past actions. I mean, the 70s are long since over, guys.
Right, right,
and
right.
That's not to kind of decry those who were leading the way back then, because mm-hmm. it was a very big freaking deal. And there were a lot of people who paved the way for things that we do take for granted now. But we've still got such a long way to go. And let's put it in this perspective. Patrick Stewart is a feminist. If you like Patrick Stewart and you enjoy the things that he does to further progress for equality for everyone in the world, well, if it's good enough for him, isn't it good enough for you?
And also, if you're listening to this podcast, you're obviously a Voyager fan. And so, you know, like you believe that a woman should be in a position of power.
That's
like
right.
The captain seat. Now, we do have some people listen to us who aren't Voyager fans.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's true. Yes.
But at the same time, when you're thinking about and we're going to move on. We're going to go on to the
yeah, we're going to end this really soon, guys. This isn't going to become a preachy feminist rant.
Don't worry. But at the same time, like if you're worried about labels and you're worried about titles saying like, well, I do believe in all the things that feminists believe, but I don't want to call myself a feminist because there's negative terms. Well, I am a white male. Okay, if you look at history, white men have done some pretty horrible things and done some pretty not so okay things.
Yeah, unfortunate and true.
Yeah, that's unfortunate and true. But the thing is, if somebody says, oh, are you Caucasian? Well, no, I don't like to call myself Caucasian because I don't really agree with the term. Well, you know, like I'm still a Caucasian. I'm still a white man, even if
right.
I don't agree with some of the things that white men have done. You know, maybe that's a stretch. But this isn't a political podcast. This isn't a...
No, we did get
like
into
that.
A bit of a rant here, though. And
we did get into a rant.
Yeah.
But it's just hard. When you have a female captain, you know, you believe in these things. I mean, like, when you love a female captain, you have to love certain things. And Char, I know you and I love those ideals.
Right. And I also love the idea that it wouldn't have been that wrong for a captain lost in the Delta Quadrant to be not only in command of her own ship, but to also have a personal life. And I know that this was a big issue in the 90s when Voyager was airing. They really didn't know how to walk the line. And that is why Janeway and Chakotay never really did hook up. Let's talk about those little moments that they gave us, though, to hint that maybe, just maybe, there was more to this than captain and first officer. So why don't you kick us off and let us know what one of your picks is for a Janeway and Chakotay moment.
Well, the moment for me that I think of, like, this is in no particular order.
Same for mine, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think I remember a couple episodes ago where I said, I was like, yeah, let's go in order, 5-1. You're like, we never go in order. I was like, we go in order every single time. That's when I was confusing podcasts, because on the Nerd Party, all we do is 5-1. But on To the Journey, we like to bounce around. The first episode I'd like to talk about is Q in the Gray.
All right, bring it.
So this is in Season 3, Episode 6. And we all know this episode. And I would say we all love this episode, but that's not true. I know that you and I like this episode. And it's the costumes are great. The acting is great. Q, John DeLancey in this episode is fantastic. It's where he comes. And the first part of the episode is where Q tries to convince Catherine to be his mate and to produce a child. Mm-hmm. And the second half is all about the Q Civil War, thus the Q in the Gray because of our own Civil War. And so, like, right. when he, for this first half, he tries to woo Catherine, like, the chocolates and candies and
serenading her in her bath.
Serenading her in her bath, very awkwardly so.
Yeah, I bet she loved that one.
There's this moment when Janeway tells Chakotay about it.
Yes, yes.
It's in the ready room, which a lot of great Janeway Chakotay moments happen in the ready room because it's private, just the two of us. And he asks, I was wondering just what you meant when you said that he made a personal request. He wants to mate with me. And he just goes, I see. And they just kind of have this moment. And she goes, obviously it's out of the question, and I suspect it's a smoke screen. Knowing Q, he's probably got some hidden agenda. And he goes, maybe. You can just see that there's this weird tension, and
yeah, he's just boiling underneath it all. The poor guy, you know, it's very obvious what's going on, and then Q calls him out on it.
Well, yeah, Q calls him out on it before, but before that happens, we have this really key line that really opens up the Janeway Chakotay fanfic, and like Janeway gets close, touches him, and says his name, and he goes, "I know I don't have any right to feel this way, but this bothers the hell out of me."
Yep.
And that's when Q appears and goes, I do believe you're jealous. And then, why didn't you tell me there was another man? But then she kind of knocks it away by saying, because there isn't. I'm just not interested in you. And I believe that this is the smokescreen, that she was saying this because she got embarrassed.
She's got to defend herself, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, this has nothing to do, actually, with not wanting to mate with Q. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, okay, then there's another follow-up line to that. Chakotay, so defeated, is like, any more questions?
Yeah.
Just like, and then, really? You, oh, damn it, Kathy.
And then he gives the, because mine's bigger, tattoo.
Yeah, the Star Trek dick joke.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah, the level of annoyance in Chakotay's voice when he says, any more questions. I mean, there's so much to that. Mm-hmm. He is very bothered, no matter why Kathy said that in her defense. He's just, damn it, you could have played this another way and warded him off.
Yeah,
what
but
are you thinking, Kathy?
I mean, like, you definitely see his pain there, but I think I'm more interested in the pain before, like, because, like, he put his hands on the railing and drops his head. Like, he...
Yes, he does.
Just with his body language, he shows you how jealous and bothered he is by this, even though he admits that he has no right to it.
Right, right.
I think that's why it's one of my favorite moments, because there's physical touching, there's body language, and there's admission of jealousy.
Right. And for those who say that Robert Beltran can't act, look at all the nonverbal language in just this scene. The guy can act.
Yes.
He just has to be given good stuff.
Yeah, give him interesting scripts and then he can act just fine.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, here is our first duplicate in our top five list, because I had this whole scene.
Oh, really?
But I've got honorable mentions, because I don't know about you, but I could have listed 100 Janeway and Chakotay moments. I really just tried to distill it down to the ones that had the most impact, the most meaning, and maybe the most fangirling moments.
Mm. All right. Well, okay. So I guess we need to move on to another one then, since this was a duplicate for you.
Well, either that or I'll go with an honorable mention.
Let's go with an honorable mention just to get that conversation out there.
Let's do that. How about when Janeway and Chakotay go to the luau together, presumably on a date in Alter Ego, and they get laid? Flowers, of course.
So just because they go to an event together?
Well, I mean, come on. Okay, think about it. They're in off-duty clothing, and there's this little part at the end of the scene where she takes his arm, and they walk off.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little more than just chummy. It's like, come on, baby, let's get some punch.
I didn't know we were going to get this minute with their relationship. I mean, I'm not knocking it whatsoever, because I have these moments. When I see these moments, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, well, it's just the fact that they are so incredibly out with it. You know, a lot of times the Janeway and Chakotay scenes are very private. They're in the ready room, they're in each other's quarters, or, you know, and they're having dinner or something like that. But they are on the holodeck. They are together as Janeway and Chakotay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I like that angle. See? I like that angle a lot. You proved me wrong here.
It's a small thing, but it is something.
But it's loud because they're in public, they're in front of the crew, and she has no problem taking his arm in
front
of the crew.
And they're comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this was early on, too, wasn't it?
Season 3.
This was season 3. Okay, so this was season 3.
Yeah, so season 3 was like the apex of Janeway and Chakotay moments. So we get all sorts of little tidbits like this, and I think that this one doesn't get the credit that it deserves.
All right.
So how about that? What's your next pick?
My next one is a pretty obvious one, and we've talked about this a lot.
Oh, which one?
So I won't go in depth to the episode, but it's Coda.
Oh, well, yeah, we have to have a Coda pick, right?
We have to have a Coda pick. Season
it's
3 again.
Which one?
Yeah. Yeah, season 3, episode 11. And my favorite moment is when she dies and Chakotay thinks that she's really dead, and it's that moment when he's doing CPR and mouth to mouth, and he's literally screaming her name, and then when he thinks that she's really gone, he just holds her close, weeps, doesn't cry. Weeps and rocks back and forth because she's dead.
Yes.
And I believe when we talked about this before, whether it was a relationship moment or just our What If Janeway Died episode, Riker would not do this with Picard.
No. Sisko would not do this with Kira. I don't think Archer would do this with T'Pol. Kirk and Spock, maybe.
Maybe.
I could see that happening.
I could see that happening.
But other than that.
Yeah. Like, once you take, like, I think so many times, like, we have to say, once you take Kirk and Spock out of the equation, they're the only ones. How many times have we said that?
Yeah. Well, and it's all because of all the slash fic that goes way back to the 1970s. I mean, this has been a thing forever.
They invented slash fic. They literally invented slash fic.
We mentioned that. Yes.
Yeah, Kirk and Spock.
But could you just imagine Picard holding a dead Riker? Number one.
No, number one.
That's so
it's
good.
Not his time, number one. Not you will. You have your career to look forward to, number one.
I so wish sometimes that we had live video if we were recording this.
Because I guess I forgot that this was a podcast. I closed my eyes, pantomimed that I was holding Will Riker and rocking back and forth.
Yes. Oh, it was so beautiful. You're just going to have to envision it, audience. It was a truly masterful moment, Tristan. It was.
Yeah, all those acting classes paid off. Well, I'm glad that you like this moment too, because this is key. I mean, for that very reason of you wouldn't see this with any other XO captain pairing, shows you that this is different. And it's not because she's a woman, because we've had that kind of pairing before. Mm-hmm. It's just because they have the chemistry.
Yeah, and I think, and I've said this before, this is the moment where there is no doubt that Chakotay loves Janeway.
Mm-hmm.
He is so incredibly vulnerable right here and lets it out. I mean, it's so obvious in my mind. Now, the non-relationshippers, I want to know how you write this off.
Yeah.
Please write in and tell me, because I don't think there's any deniability here.
I think the only way you can write it off is if you say, like, oh, this was in her head, or, like, this one didn't exist.
That's true. There is that edge in Coda because so much of it does take place in her mind, and so this could be her projection of how she thinks Chakotay feels about her.
But if you take it
but
from
even
there,
so,
yeah,
right?
if you take it from that angle, then you at least you verify how Catherine feels. Then,
yeah, and we know that Chakotay is more than willing to go through with this relationship if Kathy were just willing.
Mm-hmm.
And
boom,
so
logic.
There's something mutual there. It's just she's not acting upon it because she's the captain, yada, 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 yada.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with my next pick because it is also a Coda moment.
Oh.
So we're just going to follow that motif, but it's a different moment because there's so many Coda moments. I mean, the whole episode practically is a Janeway Chakotay moment with the exception of maybe, I don't know, the memorial service in part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a whole lot left over. So the one I went with, thinking that the whole "no, Catherine, you can't die" was either going to be too obvious and an overlapped pick, I decided to go for the end where they are celebrating Janeway cheating death because Chakotay comes into her ready room, presents her with a rose, and she invites him to go sailing on Lake George. And I don't know if anybody could convince me that this date on the holodeck was platonic.
Yeah. I forgot that was Coda.
Yeah. And again, could you see Picard inviting Riker to come on the holodeck and Tristan just spit his water? Those two sailing together? I don't think so. Again, Kirk and Spock, maybe. Even though they didn't have holodecks, they'd actually go to Lake George. But I'm laughing at Tristan at this point. Just no.
I haven't laughed this hard on To the Journey in a long time. I'm sorry. I'm picturing Riker just go into the ready room. He's walking into the ready room and he has this rose behind his back and you just see this shining bald head just get a little brighter. And he says, he's like, "Do you want to go to the Arboretum with me?" And he's like, "Is that where you picked it?" He's like, "Yeah, I picked it just for you."
Yeah. Keiko said, "We'll have some alone time."
And then say, like, "All right, well, you are my number one dad." And
now this is getting twisted.
It's getting weird. And then they walk out together, hand in hand. Yeah, there's a reason you don't see that. Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah. That image, yeah. That fake image will never leave my brain. But no, I'm so glad that you brought this up because this is key. This is blatant. This is out there. They're sailing together. Uh-huh. He brought her a rose and he hid it behind his back, if I'm remembering correctly.
Right. Okay. So could you imagine being on the bridge as Chakotay
right?
walks, you know, on the bridge on his way to the ready room? And if I were Tom Paris, seeing that rose behind Chakotay's back, I would know what's up.
And even better, once they exit the ready room, they're arm in arm and she has the rose in her hand.
No, no, no. She leaves the rose in her ready room. But think about how they exit that scene. You know, she kind of ushers him out. He goes out. And then she practically, like, runs out, giddy as a little schoolgirl, like, yay, I'm going to go to the holodeck with Chakotay.
You're right. Sorry, I'm not remembering it correctly. You're remembering it much better than I am. But, like, that moment, I was on Tumblr this morning, and I was scrolling. I saw a gift set of, like, 6 gifts of just Janeway and Chakotay moments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. And one of them was him giving her the rose. And I was just like, oh my god, I remember that. Maybe I should put that in. So I'm glad that you put it in.
Yes. Oh, how could I not? That was just one of my big, big fangirling moments back in the days when this was airing. And oh, I thought it was going to be so definite at this point they were going to move forward with it.
I know.
And yeah, well, even all these years later, I'm still a little bitter. I have to admit.
If the show aired today, I think it would happen.
I agree. Because I think they wouldn't be so on edge about, ooh, a woman in the captain's seat. No, she would just be the captain. Like, I think they tried to do that, but at the same time, they were under so much pressure, and I think they didn't know how to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they screwed up here and there, and, well, they tried.
We'll always have our imagination.
Thank goodness for that. What's your next pick?
My next one is season 3 again.
Surprise.
I know. I didn't realize this until we started talking. But yeah, season 3, episode 21, Scorpion, part 1.
Okay. Yes, 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 yes.
And you can probably guess the moment that it is. But what it is, they are talking about the Borg. And Janeway's reading in the Starfleet database about the Borg. and they're going back and forth, and this is where she actually mentions Jean-Luc Picard.
Mm-hmm. Does a little impression, even.
Does a little impression, even. Not as good as what I just did, but, you know.
No, not even close.
I mean, clearly, I have done the best Patrick Stewart ever.
Acting.
Acting. I gotta give this quote. It says, "This day was inevitable. We all knew it, and we've all tried to prepare ourselves for the challenge ahead. But at what point is a risk too great? At what point do we come about and retreat to friendly territory? Could the crew accept living out the rest of their lives in the Delta Quadrant? I keep looking to all these captains, my comrades in arms, but the truth is, I'm alone." And Chakotay replies with, "If that moment comes, we'll face it together and we'll make the right decision. You're not alone, Catherine." And she replies with, "3 years ago, I didn't even know your name. Today, I can't imagine a day without you." Now, this could be interpreted a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Riker and Picard had these moments.
Yes, they did have these moments.
These moments. And those were clearly interpreted as mentor-mentee, professional, comrades, the way that it should have been interpreted.
Mm-hmm.
This one can be interpreted both ways. I feel like this can be, this is a captain relying on her XO. Like, if it was just this line, 3 years ago, I didn't even know your name. Today, I can't even imagine a day without you. If that was, like, between Chakotay and Tuvok, you would know what it would mean.
Uh-huh.
That would never be said, but you know what I'm saying. But I think with Chakotay's reply, though, "We'll face it together, you're not alone, Catherine," the way that he says it, and that what prompted her response to, "I can't imagine a day without you," I think that's where you can interpret it to the romantic.
Yes, I think there is kind of that the double subtext going on for sure, and you're going to read into this one as much as you want,
right? But for the people who aren't Janeway, Chakotay shippers who say like, "Oh, that was just an XO captain conversation," I understand where you're coming from, and partially I agree with you, but because we are big shippers, like,
I mean, there is more to it. You could just leave it at the professional, but no, I think there's two things going on here. I agree with you. And for the relationshiper side, I don't recall Picard ever putting his hand on Riker's chest as Janeway did at the end of this scene.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that there's a little edge for the relationshiper argument there.
I think the moment that it makes me think of is the end of Nemesis. Riker comes in to Picard's Red Room to disembark for the last time before he goes to the Titan. And Picard gets up, outstretches his arm, and they shake hands, and he says, "You've been my right arm." And I can't remember for how many years he said, but like he said, he's like, "You've been my right arm." And there was so much pride in that moment. Mm-hmm, and there was an interview done with Nimoy, Shatner, Frakes, and Stewart, conducted, I think, by Whoopi Goldberg.
Really?
Yeah, it's really great. It's with the Blu-ray set, the movie Blu-ray set.
Oh, and, okay. I don't have the Nemesis Blu-ray set.
Patrick Stewart is talking about this moment, about when they filmed it, that it took several takes because he couldn't do it without crying.
Aww.
Because he knew that this was it. He's like, Nemesis is the last movie. They knew that Nemesis was going to be the last movie. And when Frakes came in for that scene, he could not say his lines because he was so choked up. And I love that story because I love the relationship between Picard and Riker. But, I mean, anyway, big tangent. But, like, if you want to interpret this Scorpion conversation like that, I think you can – it still is propagating their relationship. And that's what this is about. Not so much their intimate relationship, but their relationship.
Right. Well, and then the whole thing you just mentioned with Picard and Riker, that also has kind of a double-edged sword, just in a different way. Yes, it's professional, but it's also – Deep-rooted friendship. Now, Janeway and Chakotay have that as well, but with romantic overtones, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. You put it well.
Okay, so going on to my next pick, I think the one that's a nice segue from what we're going to talk about, or what we have talked about, to what we're going to talk about, how about when Chakotay is reassuring Janeway in the 37s? When he puts his hand on her shoulder, she's really unsure about what she's going to face when she enters that cargo bay. She doesn't know if it's going to be the whole crew, if it's going to be a handful or nobody at all. That hand and the reaction, just that gaze between those two right before she goes in, there's a lot going on there. I mean, that hand on her shoulder says he's in this mission for the long haul and he's going to stand by her the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And then also from Janeway's side, she's being really vulnerable in front of him and with him kind of for the first time, at least on a very deep personal level.
And this is practically season one.
Yeah, I mean, they filmed it with season one. It was one of those carryovers, even though it starts off season two. So, right, this is very early on.
And yeah, this is early stuff. I thought about this moment a lot, and we just got done talking about the 37s in the last episode, and so it was fresh in my mind. This is a good, solid moment. Like, you know, like we said, it's the beginning of season two. It's practically season one, the way that they filmed it and the way that mm-hmm. it was written. And so it's fresh in the writers' minds. And they start off quick and they start off strong.
Yeah, I mean, they're already going here.
This is the type of interaction that you know, like this is the building blocks of what we're going to see later, I guess I should is how
yeah,
I should
definitely.
Say.
And season one and season two are just rife with those little things. I mean, it's no wonder if you look back and you look for all these things in season one and two, there is so much. I can see exactly why people were latching onto this and saying, wow, Janeway and Chakotay in 96, man, woo! That was a real thing, by the way.
I believe it. if this was on its own, it would be nothing. You know, it'd be like, oh, it's just an XO assuring his captain in a trying
right.
time. You know,
but no.
But it's not on its own. That's the thing, is that we have hindsight now. So we know that this is the beginnings of something.
Right. Exactly. And it was. I'm convinced that it was. All right, what's your next pick?
My next one is not in season three. Surprise,
what?
Surprise.
Okay.
This is in season five, episode seven, Timeless.
Uh-oh, I think we're going to have an overlap. Continue.
How can you not talk about this one? This one is one of those where you're just like, are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me?
Okay, we're definitely going to overlap.
This is so blatant that they're not even hiding it anymore, okay? It's no longer just a quick gesture or a look at each other. No, they're having a candle-lit dinner.
Yes.
This is how, I'm looking at the script right now. And this is how it's described. The table is set with candles and flowers. Soft piano music plays in the background. This mm-hmm. is, one of those moments where Kira and Sisko don't have these dinners. Riker and Picard don't have these dinners.
No, and Kira, I mean, they even had I remember in season three for, I think it was Equilibrium, where everybody comes over to Sisko's quarters for dinner.
Right.
There's no intimate lighting. There's no music. And, yeah. And everybody's invited, not just Kira and Sisko.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so like this is the only two characters that you have these kind of moments with, you know, like an XO captain pairing. And it's just like the scene ends with her saying, speaking of risks, are you ready to try some home cooking? And if I'm remembering correctly, she says it really sultry and is like super close to his face.
Yeah, like she's right next to him. And then he says, I'll alert sick bay.
Yeah.
And she puts a hand on his cheek. You know, oh, bless you.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, they had sex after that. That's just how it is.
Thank you.
Like, whether you believe it or not.
Totally did, right? Because, okay, we're missing a little bit of this scene. We've got to talk about where she's, you know, saying, yes, we are going to attempt the slipstream flight. Mm-hmm. And you can tell the rest of the crew after dessert. And I mean, she's so sultry in this whole scene. I mean, it's just, we said it during the Timeless commentary. We know what dessert means.
Yeah.
And they weren't having ice cream sundaes.
And see, that's the thing, is like, whether it did happen or whether it didn't, it doesn't matter because they did. You know what I'm saying?
Right?
Like, it's just, that's just how it is.
I like the way you think.
Whether you agree with me or disagree with me, it doesn't matter because it happened, because whether it didn't or it didn't, it did. You know,
yeah, I think at this point, like, Janeway feels very confident that, yes, they are going to get home. And so who cares if they fudge it just a little bit? Like, if they decide to have a little fun in her quarters the night before, nobody's going to question that. So that she's ready. She's ready to go. She knows Chakotay is ready to go for this. Let's just, yeah, that happened. That definitely happened.
I think that's why I came up with that alternate reality where they had an open relationship, that whenever an alien wasn't around, they were together.
Right. Yeah, 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 yeah. No.
This is my source.
Yeah, it was during the Timeless commentary, I think, too.
All right, so you had this one too, right?
I did. So that's an overlap, but it's so big that I don't know if I want to go with an honorable mention, just because, this one is pretty freaking big. So go on with another one.
I'll just move on to my next one, which is my last one.
Yeah.
And you're gonna hate me for this.
Why?
Because I don't have a specific moment. It is all of resolutions.
All right, well, I'm kind of glad that we're saving this for last because I actually came up with a methodology for my own list.
Okay.
And I realized the pretty much the entirety of resolutions is a love letter to Janeway. And it's, you know, because Harry, you know, oh, I miss my mommy, Janeway, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You take all that out and the whole Janeway and Chakotay plot. I mean, that in itself is a list unto its own. And I decided no resolutions.
No resolutions.
None. But we, I mean, this would be really stupid if we didn't mention it, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay, the entirety of resolutions. Let's go.
All right, well, okay, here's the thing. For those of you who don't remember, and if you've ever listened to The Journey before, you should know what resolutions is.
God, I would hope so.
It's the episode, it's in season 2, episode 21, so it's early on. Early mm-hmm. on.
Yeah, yeah.
And yep. It's the episode where Chakotay and Janeway contract a disease. They can't cure it, but for some reason, if they reside on this planet, they won't die of said disease. And the crew decides to leave them behind. Crazy, right? And
pretty
so
much.
Relationship moments ensue. And there's a monkey.
Of course, yes.
And now, obviously, they find a cure, and they rescue them, and they go back to normal. But that's the thing, is that they have all these moments where they're building a life together on this planet. And I think that's the key thing, is that this has some of my favorite Janeway Chakotay moments and my least favorite one.
Ooh, do tell.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Before I get into all these amazing moments that happen to promote their relationship, at the end of the episode, they try to pretend that it didn't happen. Now, mm-hmm. here's the thing. I love and hate this moment, so I shouldn't say that I hate it completely, because I love it, because this is what would happen. I do believe that if this was real life, mm-hmm. I believe the writers did the right thing in making this moment happen, where they have this intimate moment where they're like, well, maybe we can move on, maybe we can build a life together, and they practically almost say, I love you, and then they get notification from Tuvok, hey, we found a cure, and you can come back up now. And so they beam on board. They get checked out. They have their uniforms on. They go to the bridge, and it's all just tech talk. It's just like, okay, you know, like, yep. Chakotay, are you ready to disembark? Absolutely, Captain. Okay, engage. And they don't look at each other. They're trying hard not to look at each other.
Yes. Oh, man, and they are so all business that it's obvious. Like, it's uncomfortably obvious.
Exactly. And so that's why I love and hate this moment, because I hate this moment because I don't want them to pretend like it didn't happen, because I want right. them to kiss and have babies. But I love this moment because it's well written, it's well performed, it's well acted, and it's real. It's a very real moment.
Yeah. We are missing that conversation where they decide to do this in a way. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they had been building all these moments on the planet, and they were just starting to really enjoy themselves. And I really wish they wouldn't have condensed this into one episode where we could have seen them get more comfortable and maybe even have a little more on screen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, episodic television, you can't have that.
When we rewrote Resolutions, we actually pitched that, like a 3-episode arc, yeah.
Yeah, that was a couple dozen episodes ago, but I really liked that one. It was fun. They have to decide, I guess, okay, you know, obviously, we've built a life together. We know each other more than ever, and, you know, frankly, there's a little something here, but we have to run a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. You know, a lot of people think, okay, well, they have to leave it behind. And then they kind of did and they kind of didn't, because they played with this in season 3, obviously.
Right.
And, you know, the other aspect to it that's real is the fact that, no, you couldn't just completely make a clean break.
Right, right, right.
No, 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 no. There's too much history there, even though it was just maybe a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Something did happen.
You can't just turn it off.
No, no, no. They're all business on the bridge, but when they're conversing in the ready room, imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So exactly. There's that. And yeah, I mean, with resolutions, like, I don't know. We are explaining, but do we really need to explain it? Because this is where they really do blur the lines a little bit, and they let us have a taste of what it would be like to see them go further in the relationship too, you know, go beyond friendship.
Yeah, she literally and figuratively lets her hair down.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was a direct response from Jerry Taylor to the fans who had been writing in and saying, Janeway Chakotay have so much subtext going on, please make them kiss. And they almost did. It was in a draft, and then ultimately they cut it, which of course is a dirty old shame, and that happened a couple times at least.
Just one. We just needed one.
And they had so many opportunities to do it. They could have played the whole thing where it happened, but it didn't happen, and they still couldn't go there.
All right. Well, we've talked about so much about resolutions in the past that I don't feel the need to continue on. So how about you give us, and you round out the episode with your final pick.
Okay. Well, how about in Year of Hell, Part 2, where Janeway discovers the watch that Chakotay had replicated for her birthday, and it's in his quarters. He never did recycle it, even though she told him to conserve resources. And I think that's an incredibly touching moment. Anytime I watch this, I get really big feels. Because mm-hmm. She straps it to her waist, and Neelix says it looks handsome. And I feel like that is... like, that's a symbol of Chakotay's presence, you know. He's yep. with her. She is gathering strength from that. And there's also that moment on the bridge. She looks over to his empty chair and says so much, like, I wish you were here. I want you here. I know you're here with me in spirit. I'm thinking about you. And that's right before she goes down with the ship. And then, of course, says, just for you, time's up.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought this up. I really am, because... as I was going through my list and I was trying to cultivate my list, I thought about that moment where he gives her the pocket watch and she shoots mm-hmm. him down. I was just like, I don't like that because, you know, like I don't like how negative that is. But then
she's so cold about it.
She's so cold about it. And like, obviously we know why she did that and why the writers did that is so that we could have that moment later on. I didn't think about that. And I'm glad that you chose a moment where Chakotay wasn't there. Because right. it's still a great Chakotay Janeway moment, even though that character's not there, because it shows you something about how she feels about him and how he feels about her.
Yeah, and, very much.
And just the absence of him is just as strong as his presence.
Boom. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep, that's why I picked that moment. It says so much with so few words. You don't need him. All right. Well then. Janeway and Chakotay moments aren't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week, and so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Set this movie at the end of the 5-year mission. Skip ahead 5 years, you know, kind of like Dark Knight or whatever, and then mm-hmm. say, okay, we've had all these adventures, blah, 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 and now... we're at the end. We're about to go home, you know, and it's been, a fun time was had by all.
Earl Grey.
Again, you know, because it's January, my ship was shot beyond the bounds of normal interstellar travel to the center of the galaxy, but we were back in time for tea.
The Orb.
They're not even right. thinking about it at this point. Okay, how yeah, do we well, exactly. start the resistance? Yeah. How do we do all this? Yeah. Because they have become comfortable with where they are and thinking yeah. that they're doing all they can. And yet
right.
we know, as the audience, that they're not.
To the journey!
I want you to say right now in front of our friends, okay? And in front of me and the Lord Almighty, what is your favorite season?
Okay, this isn't the favorite season.
I want you to tell me what your favorite season is.
Daniel and Darren, promise we won't ever be like this.
The Ready Room.
So what's the deal? You know, does Tom have a dad we don't know about?
Apparently.
Because who was this guy that he was remembering
yeah,
as his
know,
dad?
Was that Nick Locarno's dad?
That was Nick Locarno's dad, yes.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
But I mean, here's the question, John. If you're living Fight Club, then, you know, we have to ask. If you could fight anyone, who would you fight?
William Shatner.
All right.
Literary Treks.
The main storyline here is the battle for the Vulcan soul. They are one of the most logical races, and yet they have an intensely spiritual aspect to them.
Axanar, the official podcast.
You were there. Mm. How long did we wait for them to try and reach that footage?
Oh, man. It was
10 minutes?
It was at least as long as the Enterprise penetrating V'ger's outer shield to getting into the actual machine core.
The 602 Club.
So as far as the realism question is concerned, whether or not it's the right thing to do, it's the Marvel way to do it. I mean, I think that's the defining difference between Marvel and DC.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows. We're available on pretty much any platform where you can get podcasts these days. And none of them are possible without the help of our sponsors, so let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
So before we go, I want to mention that we have 99 ratings in the US iTunes Store. We're almost at that milestone of 100, so yay us! We have one reviewer to thank for this week, and that person is WeatherServo9. Person gave us 5 stars, wrote us a really nice review, so thank you very much for doing that. And if you want to help us get to 100, you know what to do. Go in, write us a review, give us 5 stars, and we will give you a shout out on the show, and we might even do a happy dance if and when we reach 100. Also, before we go, we want to mention Patreon.com because that's what's keeping the Trek FM network alive. Go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a monthly subscriber. There are multiple levels of donation. So if you have $5, $50, or $500, every contribution counts and goes a long way. This is what helps us store our podcast, keep the bandwidth flowing, among many other things. And we are also hoping to improve the network through funding via Patreon, and that is all thanks to you fans. We want to thank personally for TTJ's associate producers, Jamie Deuce and Kenneth Tripp. We also have a new one, and that is Aaron Harvey, also known as Geek Filter on Twitter. And he is the guy who designed the ISS Intrepid for our Mirror Universe. He is one heck of a designer. He's a really awesome guy. And so we want to thank all of these people for helping us out and especially being a part of TTJ's associate producers. So thank you very much.
And he also designed the Lizard Babies logo.
Yes, he did. Yeah, if you go to trek.fm/TTJ, you can see our badge for winning the Bridge Mates game show, and we are now the 2-time champions. I need to update the website to reflect that, because we have now beaten Team Free Enterprise twice.
That's right, and yeah, he is such a great artist, and it's a lot of fun to see how involved he gets with To the Journey and his art, and it's just the idea, and he's not the only one who has done that, and he's not the first, but he's definitely... Definitely the most dedicated that we've seen in creating art for us, because we've seen posters. We saw a lot with our, when we reached 100 episodes, we got a lot of appreciation with that. And
we did. Several people made art. But the thing is, like, what blows my mind every time this happens, Tristan, is we don't ask for this. We don't ask people to do it. They just do it.
It's so flattering. It is so flattering.
It really is. Yeah, it's such a huge compliment that people take the time and put in such good effort and produce incredible work just because they want to, because of some little thing that we said. And also, when Philip Gilfus wrote the whole script for the first episode we wrote on the fly, it's just like, are you kidding me?
That's right.
I wouldn't even write our own script. I don't make the time for that sort of thing. And yet there's people out there who do. And it's just so incredible. What a gift to us.
And so we just want to say, as your hosts, thank you very much for taking the time. It does not go unappreciated.
Absolutely. I'm kind of sad that we're done with this episode now, because we'll never get to do it again. But we got to move on to next week. And so what are we doing?
Next week is something that I always love doing, because it kind of takes us outside of the Voyager bubble, which, you know, Shar, you and I, we love Voyager very, very much. But there is so much more to Star Trek than just Voyager. And so what we're doing is an episode comparison. And the two episodes that we're comparing are Voyager's episode Emanations from Season 1, Episode 9, and comparing that with TNG's Half a Life from Season 4, Episode 22. And it's discussing cutting lives short intentionally on a societal level.
That's right. We're going to go from romance to death.
And how they go hand in hand, yeah. But you'll have to tune in next week to hear.
So until then, everybody, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!